Welcome to the Finding the Magic podcast, where books come alive. I'm Tricia Copeland, a fiction author and host of this show. If you love books, finding great reads, and hearing about the story behind the story directly from the authors, this is the place for you. Whether you like fantasy, science fiction, dystopian, or romance titles, I think you'll find something to love in my playlist. Listen in to discover something magical about a book or two today. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Tricia.
How's it going?
It's
going great. Welcome to Finding the Magic podcast. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, should I call you Sarah or should I call you S Breaker or SK Breaker?
It's just Sarah. Sarah's good.
Sarah's good. And I did see you like as S Breaker and SK Breaker. Can you clear that up for me just a little bit?
You might ask me this later, like what genres I write. I kind of write all of the genres. I'm a sort of a genre scatterbrain. But I didn't want to make all of my genres all mixed together or too different from each other. So I kind of keep all the last name to be Breaker. And then I change the first letters depending on what genre I'm writing. So, like S Breaker is sci-fi, SR Breaker is fantasy. I'm hoping it doesn't confuse everybody, but it's easier for branding and everybody knows I'm the same person. So Sarah's good.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I have a pen name for my romance too and totally get it. So let's jump in. Yeah. Do you want to talk about where you started your author journey and with what books first? Or do you want to start with something more recent and work backwards?
we can start wherever, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, we worked together in the Ink and Incantation.
Oh, Ink and Incantation, yeah.
Right. So tell me about your short story from Ink and Incantation.
Oh, I love this one. I really love this. This is one of the reasons I love the indie author community because they just come up with some great ideas like this. So we wrote an anthology of 16 YA fantasy and sci-fi short stories, and they're all combined together in that one anthology. And it's so great because it's got a story for everybody. So all of the stories are so different, but they're all really good. And they're like about libraries and books. So everybody loves libraries and books. So I think it's done really well because of that. And it also gave me a chance to combine two of my existing series. At the time, I had two complete YA series. One was fantasy and one was sci-fi. So I kind of thought to myself, what would happen if all of these characters met together in one short story? So that's what my story in that anthology is about, is like, what if these people, the characters from one sci-fi book met the other characters from the fantasy world? And it just so happens that they're both portal fantasy. So obviously they jump through a portal and meet each other, and they have to survive through, you know, this usual action adventure and then figure out who's the actual hero, because they're two sets of heroes, like who's in charge and who's going to do what, who's going to be so clever, because they're all clever, clearly, because they're all heroes. So it was really fun for me to figure out where the chemistry is going to be at. So it's very humorous, very snarky, it's very fast paced action adventure and happy endings, the usual happy endings. So I love happy endings. So that was a really fun thing to write.
That is neat. Yes. I enjoyed your story from that book too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, there are so many good stories in there. And what reader doesn't want to read about magical libraries, books, or bookstores?
Yeah, it was so good. It's such a great idea.
I feel like anthologies really challenge me to do something sort of outside my box too, because I tend to kind of live in my own brain and kind of go with what's worked for me before. So anthologies will get me out of that rut a little bit and help me be a little more creative.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what I was like, I could do anything. So I figured I always like crossovers, and I sort of wanted each set of readers for each genre to kind of have a peek into the other genre. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. I could do that.
That's a really smart idea. I wouldn't have thought of doing that. I don't like because I love my characters, I don't like to let them go. My two like YA fantasy, urban fantasy series, it's a crossover series. So one kind of leads into the other. So their people are all already together, but yeah, interesting. That was fun.
Yeah, I
And
mean, it was just,
the name of your story is Curse Yourself, correct?
Yeah, because the sci-fi series titles are all Save Yourself, Find Yourself, Free Yourself, and then the other series is The Curse of the Arcadian Stone. So I'm like, mix it together and it became Curse Yourself.
Neat. Well, tell us about your maybe fantasy series first, then.
The Curse of the Arcadian Stone is a young adult epic fantasy series about a guardian of a treasure, and she's been guarding it for like thousands and thousands of years. And then the hero kind of shows up and tries to steal it, which is the usual plot of a hero is he goes to a garden and tries to steal the thing, but usually he's the hero. But in this story, she's sort of the main character, and she doesn't like the hero to steal her treasure, obviously. But some stuff happens and he saves her life and they steal the treasure and a bunch of other adventure happens and they discover things about herself and he discovers things about himself and they sort of it's enemies to almost lovers kind of thing because I love that. And it's got a bit of fast-paced snarky humor as usual, and then happy endings, of course, happy endings.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So are these characters, are they human or do they have special abilities?
So the hero guy is like a regular guy from Earth, but he's really street smart and clever, and he's been kind of stranded in her world for like a year and been trying to find his way home. So she was like his last kind of last hope to get back to Earth, sort of. But she's a magical being and she's been alive for ages and she's not gonna let him steal the treasure so easy. So it's
Right.
kind of an interesting dynamic, and they're quite fun together. They're very funny.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And tell me the name of that series again, just so make sure
That's
my readers can or
all
listeners
right. That's
can.
The Curse of the Arcadian Stone.
The Curse of the Arcadian Stone. That sounds like a lot of fun. I love it. I'm assuming
Thanks.
the Arcadian Stone is
Yeah,
the treasure.
that is the treasure, yes.
Fun. And what is your sci-fi series?
Oh, my sci-fi series is called Selfless because it's sort of about multiple dimensions and parallel worlds. And the main character sort of loses herself and then finds herself. So it's sort of that's what that where the title comes from. It's selfless. And the way that it starts is I always thought that I had this idea that what we dream at night is actually ourselves in an alternate universe. Like if you had a dream last night and you did some funny stuff on it, or my dreams always have spies chasing me all the time, and I'm figuring, huh, what if that was actually me in an alternate universe, and my alternate universe me wanted me to save her because she was in trouble. So that's why the first book is called Save Yourself, because you're actually sort of saving yourself in the other dimension.
Right.
And in the other dimension, everybody's really, really everybody's when you go to the other dimension, they think you're the person who's in trouble, and they try to chase you instead. So it's kind of a it's kind of an action adventure. Yeah, kind of a fast-paced thing like that.
That sounds really cool. That's a great idea. Like my dreams are so boring. I worry. I have a dream. I worry about my kids breaking their car, breaking down, and then being stranded or something. And I'm never there, of course, to help. So not sure that would work for me, but.
Oh no, I mean that's what I'm thinking is probably in another dimension your car did break down and your kids were looking for you and you weren't there.
Okay. So it's the opposite kind of
Yeah.
mirror image.
Yeah.
My voice is being weird today.
So it's just there's so many possibilities. It's really I think it was really cool to think about. So
That is really
yeah, that
cool to
was
think about. And are both of those finished series, or are you still working on them?
No, they're both oh, okay, that's a good question. They're both technically finished. I usually do trilogies, so they all three books each. But I really, my sci-fi series, I really wanted to do kind of an epilogue, but maybe it's going to turn into an actual book instead of an epilogue because I don't know. I left things sort of open because I like endings like that where you have to imagine what happens at the end. and instead of imagining, maybe I'm actually going to write down what happens at the end and then make another whole book for that.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, maybe you have my problem of not being able to let go of your characters too.
Yes. I mean, I would love to visit that again, but I've been working on a different genre right now for a long time. So it would be great to go back to sci-fi again when when we have the time. We have so much time, right?
Yeah,
So much time.
yeah, between blog posts and social
Yeah.
media and actually trying to write.
Marketing.
Yes,
Yeah.
marketing, being on podcasts, wasting
Yeah.
your time, not writing. So
Exactly.
tell me about what you're writing right now.
Oh, I love what I'm writing about now. I love dragons. I mean, who doesn't love dragons? So the current series I'm writing is a fantasy romance that has dragon shifters. So the latest book is called Reign of the Dragon Heir, like Heir, Heir. He's like the heir of the dragons. So basically it's about a dragon princess who needs to get married, but everyone she gets betrothed to mysteriously dies. So they have to hire a fey, it's a fey and dragon. So they have to hire a rogue fey warrior. Of course, he's hot. And he has to pretend to marry her to figure out who's trying to kill everybody. So it's like one reviewer said, it was like a murder mystery, but it's a fantasy romance. It's slow burn. It's forbidden romance. It's enemies to lovers. It's everything I love about the fantasy romance and dragons. So it's like, it's really, really cool. I mean, it's cool for me, but I mean, it's always cool for me.
No, yeah, fey and dragon too. So is the princess a fey princess then too, or is she
The
a
princess
dragon?
is the dragon. The princess
Okay.
is the dragon princess, and the male is the fey warrior. So he's kind of exiled. He's down on his luck, and he's trying to redeem himself. And he thought he at a in some desert marketplace. He thought he was saving her, but actually he's just getting in her way, and she's trying to do something else, and he just got in her way anyway. It's also a snarky offbeat humor. I love snarky banter so much. It's so awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm seeing that as a running theme in your book, so we're gonna have a lot of fun reading them.
I hope so.
And what book are you in that series right now?
That's the latest book. So that's the second book from that series. There's gonna be a third book, but I haven't started writing it yet. Again, I do usually do trilogies. So there's gonna be a third book. I haven't started writing that yet.
Fun. And you've talked a little bit about, well, where the idea for your sci-fi series came from. Where do you get inspiration or ideas for your other books?
Where so I mean I read a lot and I watch a lot of TVs and movies, and honestly all the ideas just come to me every day, and I it's a compulsion. I have to write it down because it's just my imagination is just super vivid. This is another reason why I can't like write horror, because I would just freak myself out because it's too my imagination's too vivid. So I mean, I was just walking down the street and I see some people, and I'm like, oh, maybe this happens to them. And I imagine a whole story and I have to write it down. That's just where all my ideas come from. It's just every day, really.
Very cool. And how did you get started as an author? Did you always write?
So I've always wanted to be a writer. I've been writing since I was 8. I think I remember sitting outside the school library and writing in my little notebook when I was 8 years old. And then, I mean, I did other things. I had a career, office job for a while. And then I thought Amazon started the self-publishing thing about 10 years ago. And it looked super fun and it looked super easy. It's not easy, but it's still super fun. And I really like being independently published because I control what I write. I control how I do all of my stuff. And it's just basically the freedom to do what I've always loved all my life. It's great.
Neat. And did you study writing or English in school or no?
No, I studied computer science. So
I think that a lot of computer science people are very creative though too. So I think programming in and of itself is a little bit creative in my mind because you have to figure out how to make the program work, right?
Yeah. It's pretty much sort of writing as well, the writing code and writing stories as you figure out what happens next, and you go through, I guess, possibilities like flowcharts. So it's sort of similar, I guess, when you put it that way. You're right.
Right, yeah, because I was in science, or I'm still kind of in science adjacent, but I realized what I liked most about the researching progress or process is figuring out how to figure out the answer, not so much getting the answer, but how to design the experiment or how to ask the right question to get to where I needed to be, right? So that was kind of an aha moment for like, why do I have this like super techie, geeky side of me, but then also this like creative side of me that writes fantasy books.
That's a great point because it's really when you're writing, it's really not to finish the book. It's to experience the story yourself and to figure out what's going to happen and think about all the possibilities that could happen and then just, incidentally write it down. But yeah, it's about figuring stuff out.
So do you make or do you plot out your novels very precisely before you start them, or do you leave a little room for inspiration and creation?
Oh, I used to be a full-on pantser. So I just write and write and write, and then I sort of struggled with that because at some point I didn't know what to do next, and then I heard somebody call it plantser, I think. You plan a little bit and then you pants a little bit. So usually I kind of outline the first half, and then once I get started writing the first half, I let the next half come to me because at that point I haven't figured out the ending. I don't know what's going to happen. So I sort of like, I know what's going to happen first. And then based on what I've been writing, I figure out what could happen now and sort of pants the rest of the way.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I always have the ending in mind and have
Oh.
in a little, I mean, I know, well, if it's like the second or third book in a series, I know where I'm starting from, right? And I
Right.
always
Yeah.
have the ending in mind. It's the middle part that how do you get to that ending that I always have to figure out for myself. So that's
Oh, yeah.
interesting that you don't really even know where the ending's gonna go.
Oh, I kind of like to be surprised because if I already know where the ending is, sometimes I don't want to write it because it gets boring. I'm like, if I already know what's going to happen, then why do I need to go there?
Yeah, I guess I don't know why I like to know the ending, but if I knew every detail of everything that was going to happen in the book, then I wouldn't want to write it.
Yes, exactly.
Right, because I get bored. Like if I'm just like to me that's just like copying somebody's notes,
Yeah.
right? Like
It's just noting
why would I
down
want
things that happen.
right?
Boring.
Yeah. Right, and I don't think I'd be as good of a writer because I kind of see it in my head like a movie. I don't know
Oh
how you
yeah, me too.
envision what you're writing, but
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of it's very difficult to translate what you see in your head to a piece of paper, but I also see books as like movies. I mean, I think a lot of people, authors do this as well, as they make playlists and soundtracks and they're going through your head while you're writing and you know what m music comes along with what scene. It's super fun.
fun. So, how are your books written? Do you write them in first person or third person, or are they all different?
They're all kind of different. I think I started using first person like way long ago before I knew what third person was. And then people are saying, "Oh, I think third person needs to be the point of view now." And then I shifted everything to third person. And I think it depends. It might depend on the kind of story you're trying to write because it's everywhere. Everybody, there's no like one rule to like what one rule to use, a point of view in what genre. So it's really fun to mix it around. I hope nobody gets confused by it, but it's how it is.
No, yeah, it was just like I always wrote first person, and then when I did this in story in incantation, I challenged myself to write in third person for the first time because I had tried it like a little bit before, but I did it was I wasn't super comfortable with it, or I felt like it was too hard. So that was my challenge for the story in the anthology that I was writing in third person. Obviously, I have an editor to help me with that.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Because
But,
you'll miss some, you always miss some.
right. But, yeah, I'm always interested to talk to authors about what, how they, if they, if they're comfortable with both or if they prefer one or the other.
I
And
think I
some
prefer third
readers,
now. Yeah.
okay, some readers like one or the other better. I think a lot of time readers kind of, especially in epic fantasy, prefer that third person. You get a
Yeah.
deeper view of all the characters and what they're thinking and feeling and
Yeah.
doing. So.
I think sometimes people think first person is sort of youngish, like YA, because it's more internalizing what the character is feeling. But it's, I think right now it's everywhere. Even epic fantasy has first person. You know, there's really no rule now. It's so funny.
Right, yeah, I totally agree with that. So fun.
And well, I mean, I wrote maybe a, I don't know, six, I don't know, I wrote quite a few books in third person, and then this next project I'm gonna have needs me to write in first person. So I'm like, I couldn't start because I'm like, how do you do this again? I swear I know how to do this, but I just couldn't remember. So it's kind of just adjusting your head. But then once you get started, you know, you kind of get used to it again. It's really good.
Right, yeah, and I do that too with writing. Some of my previous series have been past tense, and now I'm writing like a present tense. And so,
Present
yeah,
tense, wow.
when you first start that off, you kind of forget that, you know, you're telling the story in real time, basically.
Yeah.
Fun.
That one I struggle with present tense. I don't know why. I've just never used present tense before, but when I read it looks like it makes sense. I'm like, I should write in present tense, but I just can't.
Yeah, I think all these different writing styles seem to be a muscle that you just have to, or you know, a brain
Yeah.
switch that you just have to get used to it. And then, just like you said, you start a couple of chapters and then you're
Yeah,
on
and then you're
to your good.
into
Fine.
it. Yeah.
What type of books do you read, or what are your favorite authors?
Oh, there's so many authors. I don't know. I was thinking about this last night and I was looking through your questions. Like, do I have one favorite author? I think I like certain books from certain authors, but I don't like one author in particular. But I do definitely know I like sci-fi and humorous, offbeat fantasy, you know, books. So I thought Neil Gaiman is definitely one of them because he's so fun. I love Good Omens so much. And I really, really like sci-fi. So I really loved Ready Player One, which is, you know, the video games. And I
Right.
was, you know, I'm a 90s kid. So, and it was all about 80s video games and stuff. So I was so related to all of the video game references in that book. That was really fun to read. And I think another one I really like was, oh, Brandon Sanderson, of course, he's epic. I was thinking about Skyward. I loved Skyward so much. It was awesome. So just really, again, like my books is offbeat, fast-paced action adventure, sci-fi fantasy books. That's yeah, so those are my favorite books.
And is your sci-fi like a, would you call it like a, I don't know whether people call it sci-fi light, sci-fi heavy. Is it very technical, or do you stay on the lighter side of sci-fi?
Oh, so one of the reasons I actually wanted to write my series is all of the sci-fi books I'd read so far were so serious and so heavy, and I thought surely there should be a sci-fi series that's, you know, still sci-fi but sort of funny and you know, a fun atmosphere of hopefulness instead of all this dystopian dark kind of heavy vibe. So that was one of the reasons why I wrote that series. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny. So it's a humorous, really sci-fi, easy to read. I'm always saying it's easy to read, but I do kind of make up advanced theoretical physics in there, and people are like, whoa, it's made up. It's not real. It's okay. I mean, it's parallel worlds and multiverses. So I do kind of describe string theory, but again, it's all made up. It's fun. It's just a little fun.
Yeah, so yeah, me and my husband always have this like back and forth about like the definitions of sci-fi and fantasy and how like some people like kind of blur those lines a little bit, and he gets very frustrated because he's a hard sci-fi reader. And
Oh.
we'll both read like The Martian, and I'll just skim the chapter or skim the paragraph that all the technical stuff, right? And that's the part he loves. And I'm just skimming them. I'm like, yeah, I finished the book in an hour, and it took him like 8 hours to read, right? I'm like, just get me to the next plot line here.
I'm exactly like that. My husband, though, like, he likes space opera books. I'm like, exactly like that. It's very heavy on the world building and all of the action happening in space and sort of drama. I'm like, well, skip that. I want to know what happens next, you know?
But yeah, I'm getting a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe from your book. So
It's sort of funny. I mean, it's Marvel funny. I don't know. I've always been kind of Marvel funny. It's more the snarky funny, not like really funny funny. I guess it's also because that's the humor here in New Zealand. I live in New Zealand. All the humor here is sort of like dry, offbeat. It's just my kind of humor. I like it. It's very fun for me.
And yeah, I was trying to pick up on your accent. I wasn't sure if it was British or, and that's
Oh.
probably gonna make you angry or something. I know that's the wrong thing to say, but
I don't know. I watched a lot of American TV, so my accent kind of picked up American accents from
yeah, it's
TV.
not very heavy at all. So,
No, it's
well,
not.
I was born in the southern part of the United States, and nobody would ever guess that usually. Same.
Yeah, you can't tell.
This is super fun. So, what is next for you?
What's next for me? Okay. Like I mentioned, I'm working on that next project, which is actually a new adult fairy tale retelling multi-author series, but I wasn't sure because it's not low steam, so I'm not going to talk much about that. It's not low steam, and but then the so the next thing after that is the third book in the Dragons series that I'm working on. It's the Dragons of Arcadia. It's book number three. I haven't started, so but that's what I'm going to be working on next. And it's gonna be really fun because it's gonna kind of touch on the Curse of the Arcadian Stone again. Again, I love my crossovers. All of my books kind of run into each other, so it's kind of gonna touch into that world because it's set in the same world. It's just a different time frame. So that's sort of where that's gonna be leaning to. I'm super excited.
Oh, neat. That does sound like a lot of fun. Tell everyone where we can find you and your different pin names so we can make sure and have them all straight.
All right, so. Because I have so many different pen names, my website is breakerworlds.com. So that's got all of my pen names. I think I have five at the moment. I don't want to bore anybody. I have five pen names. So it's breakerworlds.com. And I'm also on Instagram and TikTok, Facebook, and all of the social media, all the usual social media places as S Breaker. I think we can put the links in the somewhere, I guess. Yeah, but
Yeah, we'll have
definitely
all the links.
breakerworlds.com is the one URL and everything's there, so it'll be easier to find.
That's a great idea, Breaker Worlds. I love it.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Sarah. I really appreciate it. And we'll have, like you said, we'll have all the links for your book in the description on the podcast. Thank
Great. Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
you. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Finding the Magic podcast. I'm your host, author and podcaster, Tricia Copeland, and I love getting behind the scenes. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe and stop in each week to discover new authors and books. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep finding the magic.